Today's interview is lots of fun for me because I met somebody who were like soul sisters in the fact that number one, we're the same age. And number two, we love the tech. And we're both self-taught from a tech standpoint. We didn't go to school for tech. We were like in the corporate world and we just picked it up. We never were afraid of it. And I love, we talk about her and her solution oriented brain and that her resilience, you know, to always like find something, the next thing. And we also share in common a love for Kajabi. And if you don't know what Kajabi is, it sounds like origami or whatever that Japanese art is, but no, it is Kajabi is a platform and it does everything. It's like an all-in-one platform. And I've had it for a little, like 2.5 years. But I also love the company and it race basically is my everything. My business is completely run on Kajabi. And so she has a membership for people who, and I love her whole positioning of what she does because it's like she helps eliminate the tech overwhelm that so many people have. And a lot of her membership are people that are like over that mid-age or midlife and up. And so I love that. And, you know, she has this community of people that are learning the tech. So it was really fun talking to her and sharing a lot of similar experiences and our love for Kajabi. And actually they're having a special this month, if you're listening in July. So look in the show notes for information on that, because it is like a deal and it's a great platform and you can monetize your passion and your purpose through a very easy to use interface. It's really easy and they've got so much online help, but then Deanna can help you too. So without further ado, let's get to the interview now.
Hi, I'm Laurie Wright, also known as Not Your Average Grandma. I created this podcast as a place to go for midlife inspiration. If you are in a stage where you believe the best is behind you, it is my hope that one of these episodes will ignite a long suppressed or unrealized desire, and you will see the potential within yourself just waiting to be tapped so you can do amazing things with the time you have left. I want you to stop seeing your age as a limitation and start seeing it as your superpower. You have years of experience and value that your younger you never had. So it's time to lean into that and use it to fuel your future. No more letting age hold you back from the pursuit of a more passion-filled life. The more passionate we are, the better the world will be. So stop settling for average, put your AirPods in, and let this episode inspire you to take the first step in transforming your mind, body, and soul.
Welcome to another episode of Not Your Average Lives. And today's guest is Deanna Fenton. And I'm really excited about this conversation because I don't think I've had anybody else like Deanna on the program, but she is the techie in your pocket who loves nothing more than to help online course or membership site creators kick tech overwhelm to the curb. And Deanna, this is something that I'm really passionate about because so many people our age, and by the way, she's my age, we're twinsies, we're both 62. So I love talking to people that are our age that are, you know, serving people in the way we serve, but tech is such a block and obstacle to so many people starting out. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to know kind of how you, because you before I hit record, you talked about how you started in food service distribution. So it's like, where did you learn the tech? So is it all self-taught? How did you get to where you are now?
Yeah. And actually it is all self-taught. And I guess, and then one of my answers when people are like, I'm not techie is, can you solve a problem?
Yes, that's so good.
And now granted, I do admit, like, there are people who like to put things together. Like if we go to IKEA, I'm the one in the house who puts things together. My husband's like, yeah, no, that's not his zone of genius, but I love to put things together. So if you can solve a problem and you can think like, how do pieces fit, you really can do tech. And yeah, it just happened. I started working early on in food service distribution. Just very quickly, my father died when I was 19 He owned an auto repair business. And he left me as the executor of his estate. So I basically took over an auto repair business for a year until it could be sold. And then I had to go look for a job. And
at 19, wow, that's crazy. Yeah. What were you doing when that happened?
I was in college and I was actually studying to be a veterinarian.
Wow.
I was just starting though. And so I had to quit school, had to take care of the business, had to sell the business. And then I was like, I need a job. And I wasn't prepared to go back to school. So I had one particular job that was kind of in distribution. And then I got into a big corporation called Cisco. Mm-hmm. A lot of people probably see the trucks on the road.
Yep. And I was a waitress and they used to park and deliver food. Yeah. Know it well.
So they are huge and they had a branch near my house and I got a job there working in the accounting department and I was bored out of my mind, looked around and said, there's got to be a better job in this company. And I saw what they called merchandisers, which were buyers, the people who bought the food from Heinz and Tyson and all that for the salespeople to sell to restaurants. So I said, I want that job. And it took a long time because they're like, you have no experience, you know, and we've got these people here that do this job that have tons of experience. And after about a year, they gave me a chance. And so I was focused on that as a career. And I went to other companies and I became a vice president of a family-owned business in San Francisco. And that was when I had my first computer, PC. Mm. And nobody had it. Food service distribution is, I always used to say, was like one of the most backward industries in the world. There were a lot of people getting into tech and using computers and, you know, we had the dumb terminals on the desk that you could like enter your inventory and you create your orders, but there was no PCs. There was no network. There was nothing like that. So we got a PC and started to learn to do desktop publishing, to create newsletters and flyers for this business.
And I'm guessing, since we're the same age, I remember it was mid 80s when I used my first desktop computer and we mm-hmm. also had terminals in the office. Mm-hmm. So, and I remember the first time I used Lotus. And you remember the Lotus, you had to get the like backslash to get the menu. And I remember I sat down and I was like, somebody had showed it to me and I went back to do it again. And I'm like, how do I start? I don't know. There was a menu there. And it was like, oh, you hit the backslash button. Yeah. So I can relate. I remember it. Yeah.
Because you think about it compared to today where everything is generally pretty intuitive. And we had to like hunt and peck to find out like what to do.
Yeah.
So it was weird because, I mean, do you remember the first time you got a fax machine in the office?
Well, there was one there. So.
Oh, in our business, there wasn't even a fax machine. And they brought this fax machine in and I go, what is that?
Yeah. We had this huge photocopy machine. I mean, it took up a whole room. Yeah. Yeah. It would jam all the time. I was like, oh, we called the copy guy. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was beginning stages of tech.
Yeah.
And what happened is as things progressed in the industry, one of the things that happened was there was a movement to give the sales reps laptop computers. Again, ooh, this is all new. Laptop computers. So when they go to a restaurant and sat down, they could talk to the restaurant owner and have at their fingertips information about the products that they were selling. So they didn't have to, you know, the restaurant owner would say, well, how many calories in a serving? They don't know. They either carried a big binder of paperwork to look it up, or they called us in my department. And so the idea with the computer was they could look it up and it would all be on the computer. Well, I was fascinated by that. And I went to the industry association because now I'm like in my 30s. And I said, how are you going to get the information from the manufacturers? And they said, well, we have this standard and the manufacturers are just going to create it. And I said, I don't think you're going to have to convince them to do that. So I started a business. And my business was, I was the intermediary between the manufacturers and the distributors. And what I was going to do was create a program that had the format for this information. I would get the information from the manufacturers and they would give it to me. And then I would sell subscriptions to the distributors to use it. But I didn't know how to program.
Yeah, I was just going to say, did you learn how to program in the process? Okay.
I had no idea how to program. Mm-hmm. So I was very fortunate that there was a part-time programmer that came into our company. And she's like, I can do that.
So I You are resourceful. That's what you need. That's all you need, right?
Find the person who can actually write the little bits and bytes and make it happen. So I started this business and it was called Findex. And it just was, you know, basically find the information, Findex. And I started to do this. And
so did you leave the company or was that like a little side business? Wow, that was gutsy.
It was very gutsy.
Yeah.
It was very gutsy. Yeah, it was, that was kind of scary, but I really believed in it. And unfortunately, long story short, there were changes in the industry. This is one thing for everybody who is going into a business where there is some entity that controls what you're delivering. So for me, that was the trade association because they owned the format. I was allowed to use it, but they had the right to say, we're going to pick one company to be the distribution because I was competing with another big tech company. And they were like, the manufacturers were saying, the distributors loved me because my pricing was very fair and I worked closely. They loved me because I was from the industry. But the manufacturers were saying, why do I have to pay twice? I have to pay for her company because she has these customers. And I have to pay for this company because they have those customers. So I basically got cut out.
Yeah.
So I didn't quite know what to do, but this is right in the dot-com boom era. And there was another company that was starting online ordering for restaurants. And they knew of me because they were using my data for the restaurants. So the restaurants could look up the data. And so they hired me. And I was like, but I'm an entrepreneur. I don't want to work with somebody. But they made a really great offer. They basically bought the name. And so they paid me a good amount of money for the name of the company, which we never ended up using. And then they hired me. And I will never forget, I was on a business trip with my boss, who was one of the founders, the co-founder. And he said to me, he goes, would you ever have another business? And I said, in a heartbeat. And he just said, I definitely would. So I went through years of being in Silicon Valley, left that company, went to IBM. I actually worked for IBM for a little while, which sounds weird, but I was considered an industry expert. So the salespeople would love to bring me in when they were talking to a distributor because I could talk supply chain and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Then I went back. And again, this is when all these, different e-commerce companies were coming up. And there was another one that came up and they hired me as the vice president of marketing and business development. And I was there, and that was like in 1999, and then it became 2000, and everything went. And so this company laid off. We weren't that big a company. Maybe there was 80 people, and they laid off 30 of us. Almost all the salespeople off of me, my marketing department.
Yeah, the people made more money, cut that usually.
Yeah. And it was like, okay, I don't know how you're going to sell or market this stuff, but okay. So I lost my job, like lots of other people.
Yeah. A lot of my guests, that's how they ended up starting their businesses, is it was a layoff, which was devastating at the time.
Right. So,
yeah.
But it was, it all works out because then, this is a long way to go, but it kind of shows you how I wasn't a tech person as far as being able to program things, but I could communicate. And actually, when I worked in these Silicon Valley companies, the developers loved me because they considered me the voice of the customer. So they would come to me and they would go, well, we're doing this and this and this. And I said, well, that doesn't make any sense. And I would show them why it didn't make sense to a normal human.
Yeah. Well, I see two things clearly with you is you're resourceful and you're solution oriented. You like to solve problems and yeah, always figuring out what you need to do. And always, you know, it sounds like you're very much of a high achiever because you're always kind of moving, growing, wanting the next thing and yeah. expanding your knowledge.
Yeah. And that mm-hmm. I really do. And it's interesting, we were talking a little bit about lifelong learning, and mm-hmm. I'm such a huge believer in yeah. that.
So what you do now, and I love what she does right now because she helps people with learning Kajabi. She has a membership, and I'm a huge fan of Kajabi because like Kajabi is a one-stop shop. I mean, it like does everything that you need. So you don't have to like learn a bunch of different platforms. And when I was starting, so I was in network marketing for a little while and they had their own software, right? So I didn't need my own. I did have a website that was Squarespace, but when I heard about Kajabi and I knew I was branching off and doing my own thing, I was like, oh my gosh, that would be really helpful because I had an email service and I had a website. And so I was paying for two different companies. Plus they, you know, you got to learn the user interface for both of them. You got to figure out how to connect them. And I didn't have landing pages. So that would have required getting another piece of software, some kind of platform. And I didn't have any cart to collect payment. And so Kajabi just has everything. And so I loved like, you know, and, you know, investing in that and like having one platform to teach everything. And the first thing that I found out about Kajabi is like how amazing their customer support is, like mm-hmm. how helpful they are. And then the other thing is very shortly after I signed up with Kajabi, they had an online, this was before the pandemic, because they were going to do one last year, but they had to cancel it. But they did the online, they did a conference. It wasn't online. It was a in-person conference.
Yes.
It was, I think, one of the best events I've ever been to. They had amazing. Oh my gosh. When they have another one, we'll have to hook up in person.
Yeah.
But, you know, I loved, and so I worked in the tech industry. So I worked for AOL and I worked for mm-hmm. other companies. Yeah. And so I was a project manager. And so I really connected with who they were as a company. And their CEO is great. Their president is great. And they were so human. They were so telling stories about how they started, you know, how Kenny started Kajabi. I mean, I was like, yeah, I want to be your friend. You know, yeah. Like, and so I think I became like a kind of a lifelong customer at that point. And I'd only been like using the platform for like 4 months. But I just love them. I talked to their head of tech because I was like, I would love to work for. I would love to work for the company. And I was like, wait, no, that's crazy because I'm doing my own thing and I really am passionate about that. Lori, stop, you know. But it was just I connected so much with, you know, them and who they were as a company. So I'm a huge advocate of Kajabi, and so I love also because people our age are so challenged with mm-hmm. stuff, and what you do, it helps so many people who have the overwhelm. So, yeah. So, I mean, we've been trying to get together and get you on the podcast for a while. And I was like, I was so excited to talk to you because I wanted you to share kind of how you got into it and why you think people, why, you know, like if you have something inside of you and you're letting the tech stop you, mm-hmm. stop, stop doing that. You can figure it out. Just like Deanna said. So do you find, so when people come to you, are they usually like, they don't even know what Kajabi is, or are they gotten Kajabi? How does that work?
Usually they've gotten Kajabi. I mean, I have one of my members, and so Kajabi was launched, it was like 6 years ago now, pretty sure.
Yeah. And you got in early.
Yeah. I was a founding member. Mm-hmm. And so they called us founders, all the people. And it was basically taking the risk. You know, I would said, yeah, I'll pay you this money. you only have this much, but you're
there wasn't a lot of features.
You're going to have this much, right? Yeah. But right now you only got this. And I mean, they delivered, believe me, they totally delivered.
Yeah. That's what they do. They're so honest. They're so honest. I love that. I feel like such integrity with the company. And
I do as well. Mm-hmm. And it bothers me sometimes when there's people that will come in and they will criticize certain things like, well, it doesn't have this. And it's like, if you knew what it was and what it is now, and honestly, I get a lot of information about what's on the horizon with them. Mm-hmm. Because I was a founder, they talked to me and, you know, it's like, you have no idea how much they really have put into this.
But yeah, their app is amazing too. Their app. Yes. And I just recently found this out and I didn't know it, but you can speed up with their app. So like when you're watching, like I'm on a lot of online courses and when I like am going through a course, you know, how a lot of times you can speed up, like, you know, I have a special, extension on Chrome so I can speed up and watch stuff. I'm like, I need to get more done in less time. And so, yeah, so it's just like a podcast. You can speed it up a little bit. And I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah. You just put your little finger on the video and then there's a little menu pops down and
I don't think enough people know about that either.
I know, really it's great. It's an on the go. It's great.
But what I was going to say is there are a lot of founding members who bought it 6 years ago that have come to me and said, I signed up for this and I've never done anything with it. And I was like, wow, okay. So let's get you started. So I'm going to address the tech overwhelm because, and this term gets overused. I know it is a mindset.
Yes.
You know, and as you and I were talking earlier, you know, I look at it that there are a lot of things in this world that we have to do that we've never done before. And we have to learn it. And I always feel that if you can solve a problem and you can be able to put pieces together in a logical sequence, you can do tech. Because nobody's asking us to code, to create HTML code and do all this stuff. We just need to have a plan. And that's why I go completely old school with the members in my membership. And I make them do flowcharts.
Yeah.
You know, okay, what are you going to start? What's your end goal?
Yes.
I want to launch this product. Okay. Mm-hmm. How are you going to do it? I'm going to do a challenge. Okay. So let's write down. So what do you have to do for the challenge? And we work backwards.
Yes. Again, with the end in mind.
Yes.
Yeah.
It works for everything. And I do that because.
Or like just something simple, like I want to grow my email list. Okay. So how are you going to do that? Like, you know, they have to sign up. So how, you know, start backwards, you know, where do they go? And then how do they get there? Yeah. I love that.
Exactly. And I mean, I said, I don't care if you do it with a pencil and paper or, you know, I like to use an online program where I can move my little boxes around, but you build it out and then you, again, work backwards in Kajabi and, you know, okay, I need an offer to sell this product. I need the product. And then I need a sales page to tell them how to buy the product. And then if you're going to do a challenge, I need to have all of the content for the challenge for each day. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of like work backwards and tell them that that's the way, you know, the best way to build it. Because then you also can then make notes like, I need to identify this person if they bought or if they didn't. So at some point there you have to do, you know, you understand the concept of tagging.
Yeah.
And you know, you have to create a tag.
Yeah. Tagging, just for the people who don't know, is how you kind of associate things together. So if a user comes, like for my example, for me, if somebody goes to my website and they sign up for my newsletter, they get tagged with a newsletter tag. So then I know that that's where they came from, for example.
Yeah.
I love the membership idea because for me, community is so important with things like this because you can learn from other people. and you can see what other people are doing. I love examples. There's nothing better. I'm a very visual person. And so getting ideas, that saves so much time from like trying to find examples, trying to find people that you connect with. And Kajabi has a great Facebook community too.
They do. They really do. Mm-hmm. It's interesting too, because I do have a lot of members, even if they don't have a question for our Q&As, they still come on. Because they say, I always learn something from everybody else.
Yes.
And they support each other. I mean, I have one of my members who flat out said, she goes, this is more like a mastermind than a membership.
Yeah. Yes.
Because they do. Everybody's invited. Put your sales page up and ask for feedback. Put up
I thought of a new name. You need to call it a member mind.
Member mind.
Nobody will know what that means, but you could trademark it.
Okay. Got it.
Or mastership. You like mastership. Combine the words mastership. They'll think it's like some Star Trek thing or something.
Yeah. And I will tell you the one thing too, though, that everybody goes, why don't you do a course? Mm-hmm. And this is probably Deanna's hang up, is I'm like, if I do a course, it's immediately obsolete because you're constantly adding new things.
Yes.
And so I do have, like I said, that little free mini course, which is getting started with Kajabi, that kind of gets people in place. I did do a mini workshop on creating a winning website and an SEO one. But when it comes to courses, it's just very difficult when you're dealing with technology that changes so much. So I thought the membership was good because I can also get them started. I can get them ready to go. And then as they learn more, because that was the other thing I wanted to point out, is a lot of times it's not about the tech, it's understanding marketing. So people come to me and they want to learn Kajabi. It's like, well, first you have to learn marketing, because my other example is, it's not a hammer that builds a house. It's blueprint. And so
good metaphor. Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't have the blueprint, if you don't have what you want to create, having the best tool in the world is useless. You don't know where to start. You don't have.
Yeah. You spend a lot of time, because, you know, I've been guilty of doing the former and learned the hard way. Now I have somebody who does it for me, and he's always like, okay, like write it out. He's like, it's like too many times I said, well, wait, now that I'm really thinking it through, I'd rather do it this way, you know? And it's like, you spend so much time swirling around and redoing stuff. And yeah. And then that really frustrates, especially if you have somebody who's helping you, really frustrates them. And let alone waste a lot of your time if you're doing it on your own. You said you recommend people learn it before they pass it on. And that's what I did. And I think that's a good idea. Is there a reason?
Yeah, I really do believe it, because especially right now, there are so many people out there that have done one thing in Kajabi and now they're out selling themselves as a Kajabi expert. So I think you can hire much better if you know what needs to be done.
Yes.
You can figure out if this person knows what they're doing or not. I had a member, and now this won't make a whole lot of sense to your audience, so let me try and set the stage. In Kajabi, there is something called static pages, and all they are like informational things. They're not pages that you use for your website or for your sales page or for an opt-in. They're just text.
So that would an example be like an about us page, like where you
not even more. It's your privacy policy.
Oh yeah, yeah. Terms and conditions. Yeah.
They're just utilitarian pages. We had a member who hired somebody, and she was supposed to build a website and create her about page and her services page, all the pieces that you create of a website, which Kajabi has. This person created it in her static pages, which meant there were no images. It was just text. There was no design. It was like, holy crap. I mean, and she told me she knew Kajabi. And I said, well, she clearly didn't. Because that's
why you trial people.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But if you don't know how it's supposed to be done,
and
you try and trial people, you may not know. I mean, this woman, she says, I know it pays me to do all these pages and I'm looking where it's supposed to be and there's no pages. And we suddenly went down to the that part and I went, oh my God.
Oh my goodness.
They're all in here and it's completely wrong.
Yeah.
And so she had to recreate them all.
Yeah.
So that's why I just get, I get kind of fired up that I do see a lot of people that will say, hey, I didn't know anything and I hired somebody and they told me to do this and this and this and this, and I'm trying to sell this thing and nobody's buying. And it's like, because you got bad information, unfortunately. I mean, there are really good people, but if you don't know, first of all, if you don't know what it is you're trying to do and you don't have a plan, because I think as the owners of our companies, we should set the strategy. And then it's great to hire somebody, but we need to set the strategy of what we want done and then make sure we hire the people who know how to implement.
Yeah. So how did you get into doing what you're doing and how long have you had this membership? Like, so you were early on with Kajabi. So what made you think, did you like, were you a user first? You needed it for something you were doing it? Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it was, so after all my food service and .com and business, I was in another business. We were restaurant consultants and I created our website. This was in 2001, creating a website for this new business. And I was like, this is fun. I like creating websites. And it was just like it wasn't programming again. It was like the typical website builder where you could just like pull pieces together.
Yeah.
It wasn't anything.
Kind of like building a puzzle.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so then I was really into it. So I started taking classes. So you asked if I was self-taught. Yeah, I was self-taught. I started taking on, they were in-person classes, some were online, but most.
Because you did WordPress, like you were a WordPress expert for a while. I had that for a little while. I had WordPress and then I moved to Squarespace and then I went to Kajabi.
And I was building them in a program called Dreamweaver before.
Oh, I've heard of that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I found WordPress, started working with that. And somebody came to me and said, a friend of mine, she said, I'm working for a nonprofit that needs a website. Can you do it? And I went, sure. So fast forward that, I started building WordPress websites for people. I had an agency from about 2006 to technically now I still support a few local businesses with WordPress maintenance and stuff like that. But I was building websites. And I expanded that business. I hired developers. I had a content manager and was doing that. But I really didn't like that business. And I wanted to teach. And that was the best part of working with clients, was trying to teach them, okay, we built this great website. Now, what are we going to do with it? Because you want to market your business. So you have to send traffic to it. And they were just like, no, I just needed a website. I don't want to do that. And it's like, this was early on too. So people were not really understanding how social media worked or anything. So I said, okay, I want to start teaching. Kajabi came up and I'm kind of a tool collector. I will freely admit I have a problem. And I signed up for it with no specific idea of exactly like I'm going to build a course, but I was like, I want this.
Now, how'd you hear about it? Was it just through the, you know, you're in California. I don't know if that has a difference, but yeah.
No, I guess because I stay in tune with all the different major marketing tools, somehow it came up. And another friend of mine who also had an agency, she lived in the Bay Area and I lived up here in Sacramento. She bought it also. So then the two of us were trying to figure it out. And I will admit at the beginning, coming from a different mindset in WordPress, it was like, okay, we need to figure out how this all fits together. And so we like had a big whiteboard one day, we got together and we mapped it out. And she goes, this needs to be a course because a lot of people need to understand this, that to do it the right way. So we thought, okay, that's a great idea. We did nothing with it. And then it just a few years ago, I got involved with Stu McLaren's Tribe course.
Yes, I joined his thing. I went to a really great mastermind too with 14 people in Canada, right where Stu lives. And it was James and Stu. It was like amazing. It was amazing. He's such a great guy.
Yeah, those are two of my favorite people.
Yeah, yeah.
So he promotes memberships. And I went, well, that's what I need. I need a membership because, and I was doing one-on-one stuff with people that wanted to learn Kajabi because I could say, you know, I could work with them on like VIP days and things like that. But I was like, I want to scale this and be able to have more people. And I love the idea of a membership. And I really felt, like I said earlier, that it's difficult to do a course when things change so much in technology. So if I can get people started with some basic little course, then get them into the membership, and then teach them what they need to know about digital marketing. Because I'll tell you, most of my members are, I just got a lot more male members recently, but they're mostly female and they're mostly over 45 and 50.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. We were talking and before I recorded that you had somebody who's 80. That's amazing. Yes.
And she is a go-getter. Incredible. And what happens is they are people who have had a business that needed, especially last year, needed to go online.
Right. Yeah.
Or they see the future and the ability to serve more people is doing it online, where, you know, I have one who is a therapist and she works with the parents of adopted children to help them understand how to communicate. Because obviously, as you know, children are adopted and they, you know, there's always a sense of, do they feel like they're connected to the family? Do they wonder about the birth parents? She works with parents to help them understand the communications. And for her to serve a greater audience, she needs to be online.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's where, you know, I love to have those people. I love to have the people that just come and it's like, this is my passion and I want to do it. But Kay, who is my favorite 80-year-old in the whole world, she's been a successful businesswoman with a hair salon. But her passion was watercolors. Mm-hmm. And now she has a membership where she teaches people how to do watercolors.
I love that.
And then take the what you create and turn it into a gift that you can give somebody. Mm-hmm. Cards, gift boxes, little things like that. And she is such a passionate believer in lifelong learning. And then she wants to expand that into something more.
Yeah. I love meeting people like you because, you know, you have such wisdom, you know, the age we are, we've lived a very, very long, full life. And to listen to your evolution of all the steps that you've gone through and the different, how it's led you to where you are today. I just find it so interesting and fascinating and how you're helping so many people now. I love that. What have you learned about yourself?
I think you're right. I mean, honestly, I think I'm pretty resourceful and resilient on things that go up and down. You know, last year I still had, because of the pandemic, I still had some local clients with WordPress sites. That one was a restaurant. He didn't need a website. He was he was scrambling to survive.
Yeah.
And so I had to like shut down three projects that were going on because the people didn't know what was going to happen with their businesses and didn't want to move forward. So then I had to turn around and say, okay, now what are we going to do? And we could keep some of the maintenance clients. That was okay, but it was a difficult time. So then but the good news was then I had more time to devote to the membership. So we do an awful lot with that. And like I said, I love, and maybe this is a mindset issue is, you know, I'm a problem solver and I do like to figure things out. And that's why, you know, the overwhelm, you know, there are so many things in our lives that, you know, 42 years, I can look back and say, you know, I didn't know all the answers. I just had to figure it out. And I think we do all have the capacity, you know, if you can put something together or solve a problem by breaking it down, you can do tech. I mean, you really can. And always, and I love this about Sue in particular, is always keeping the end in mind mm-hmm. and what the impact is of what we do.
Yeah, the customer journey that he talks about, like, where do you want them to go? What's the ultimate that you want them to have, at, you know, through what you deliver? I love that about what he teaches.
And when people get a little frustrated about online courses or memberships, you know, you always have to keep in mind is what's the overall impact? So regardless of what you teach, how is that going to impact the world? Because if you teach watercolors and somebody learns watercolors and they create a gift and they give it to somebody, that creates the ripple effect of generosity and giving and care. If you are a therapist who works with adopted parents, by working with the parents to help the children, creates a world of young adults who are more confident in themselves and their place in the world because they were able to communicate with their parents.
Yeah, who felt heard. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just like, it's not just we're teaching people one thing. We're teaching them something that is going to have a further impact in mm-hmm. their lives and possibly other people's lives.
Yeah. 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 I don't know if my brain's just more attuned to this lately, but it's like, you know, I hear a lot about the collective consciousness and how, you know, the world we live in, there's with the pandemic and the political environment and all that, it's like, there's so much negativity, but here, what we do, you know, in our entrepreneurial world is we're lifting up, you know, and creating, you know, mm-hmm. we're positively impacting that collective consciousness. And I always like to think about that first, because it's like, you know, the more that people are passionate about what they do and serve in the way that we do, the better off the world's going to be, and the more we'll impact that collective consciousness and hopefully bring it out of where it is right now. The other thing that came to mind too is that when you were talking about being problem oriented, like solving problems and coming up with solutions, is you both Deanna and I met through the Business by Design community. And that's one thing that James says, is that there's infinite solutions. There's mm-hmm. infinite solutions. And so I feel like you're kind of the person that no matter what knows that there is a solution. It's like, it's not mm-hmm. like just like, oh, well, I tried that, or there's just option A and option B and neither of those worked. It's like, you know, C, D, E, F, you know, a lot of different options. And so you're kind of like that resilient person who is always thinking of infinite solutions. So
there is one, and you may have to go through some others, you know, to find the right one. But I also, it kind of goes back to the learning philosophy too, and the idea of lifelong learning is, we don't know everything. So, you know, it's testing sometimes. Yeah. I think that hangs people up a little bit because they're afraid of making a mistake. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you learn from your mistakes and you come back stronger. I don't look at it as failure.
Yeah. So that's great. Any last insight that you want to offer as we close?
Please don't ever let technology be what stops you from pursuing what you really want. Because technology is always going to be there. And hey, I'm no expert. I got my share of times where Zoom breaks, where I can't connect to Facebook, to the internet goes out. That's always going to happen.
Yeah.
But just don't let it stop you.
And there's Google and there's YouTube and there's a kid or a grandkid that can teach you how to do it. Right. Yeah. I find that there's a lot of the, you know, platforms that I sign up for lately that you know, is really customer oriented too. Their goal is to get you on it, using it, and, you know, more help than I think used to be available. But thanks so much for coming on and sharing your insight and your expertise. And we'll put in the show notes how to get in touch with you. So if anybody's interested in Kajabi, Yeah. And they have a great promotion going on right now. So I'll put information about that as well. But yeah. So thanks so much.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate the chance to be here.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Not Your Average Lives podcast. If you haven't yet, make sure to subscribe on iTunes if you have an Apple device. You can find free resources and learn what else I have going on at the moment that might interest you on my website at notyouraveragegrandma.com. You can also find me on Instagram or Facebook at Not Your Average Grandma. If you liked this episode, it would make my heart so happy if you could leave me a 5-star rating. You can also add a review to let me know what you like about this podcast, which will help spread the word about it to others who need a little midlife inspiration. As always, be you, listen to your inner voice, and focus on reigniting that lost spark so you can start living your own, not your average, life.